We taught about Hell's Angels and vampires last Sunday afternoon. We're going to go finish that up this afternoon a little bit. I want you to say hi to Trino and Barbara in Marysville, and John and Natalie in Marysville, and Jay up in Big Bear. And then we got an announcement all the way from New York, from our radio ministry, or whatever you want to call it, back in New York, from Mark and Janine Havens. They have a brand new baby. His name is Malachi Robert Havens. All right, and they wanted me to tell you hi. And he was born 1/23/13. So they got we got a brand new baby listener out there. I'm sure he's listened to our classes already. All right. Anyway, remember that. Now go to Mark. Go to the Gospel of Mark now. The 10th chapter. The Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter. Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter. Who shall be the greatest? And can you be baptized with my baptism? All right. Mark, the 10th chapter, and starting with verse number 32. And Brother Donnie, would you mind coming up here and leading us in prayer, brother, as we get started?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for bringing us together, and we thank you for Brother Jim. We just praise you, Lord, and we just ask that you'd be with us as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Mark, the 10th chapter, Katamarkon. Katamarkon means what? That's Greek. According to Mark, the gospel according to Mark. How does Mark look at Jesus? How does Mark look at Jesus?
As the Messiah.
As the Messiah? Yeah, but no. No, let's get back here now. How does he look at Jesus? As the servant. As the servant. And what flag around the 12 tribes, there were four flags, which flag represents the Gospel of Mark? The one with the ox on it, or the calf. That's the one that represents. You look up there, and I'll get you some more of those made and printed out here. Mark, Katamarkon 10 and verse 32. And they kept on being on the road, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus walking ahead of them, and they kept on being amazed. I'm bringing this out to you from the Greek, okay? Mark is the master of the imperfect tense. Continuous action, okay? And those who followed were fearful. And again, they took the 12 aside and kept on telling them what was going to happen to him. He continued to do this continuous action, okay? By the way, it's good to have David's sister here with us today. You study our classes online, don't you? Yeah. All right. Verse number 33. Now, these are the words of Jesus. You know, if you've got a red letter Bible, they're in red. All right? And saying, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, this is the servant, the Son of Man, the servant, is going to be delivered, handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. The chief priests. Now, he names them, doesn't he? He names who he's going to be arrested by. The chief priests and the scribes. Who are the scribes? The county clerks and every synagogue. And they've been recording everything about Jesus' life forever. All right, so you're getting this stuff down, aren't you? I want to tell you something. Montana went back to the seminary, and he was back there, and they started teaching him stuff. He said, I know that. He realized how much he learned in this class. So see, you got the chance. The scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. Now, first of all, the Jews couldn't kill him, could they? The Jews couldn't deal with him. We have in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, we have them committing an illegal act when they killed Stephen. Okay? But that was illegal. They were so dead set on killing Stephen that they broke the law to do it, but they didn't break the law killing Jesus. They wanted to turn him over and they wanted to have him crucified. Besides that, the Old Testament scripture said he would be crucified, didn't he? In Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, it told all about that. And they will mock him and spit upon him and they will beat him. And they will kill him. He's talking about himself. I want you to see these disciples now. I want you to look at them and see what's going on in their little skulls, their little craniums, as he's telling them these things. So I want you there. I want you to be there. I want you to look at these guys. After 3 days, he will rise again. Anastasia, he will stand again. Brother Hubbard was preaching for me one time. He's preaching from the book of Revelation, and he couldn't think of the word resurrection in Greek. He said, Brother James, what's that word for resurrection? I said, Anastasia. And he said, there it is. See, I knew it all the time. Anyway, Anastasia, the resurrection. Now, verse number 35, I want you to see a little selfishness here and a little greed by these disciples. And they're great disciples, too. But they're human. I want you to see their pride, and I want you to see this. And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him, kept on saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said, What do you want? He just told them that he's going to be killed, didn't he? And murdered. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? Just look at this selfishness. Just crop up right in the middle of him announcing his crucifixion. And they said to him, Grant that we may sit in your glory. Now, look at it now. When somebody finds out you're dying, they come over there and they start befriending you real fast, don't they? I want that. Do you think you can leave that to me? How about this? I hope you remember that I really would like that. That's what these boys are doing. This is what these boys are doing. And they said to him, Grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. You know what it's going to take for that? You know what it's going to take for somebody to sit up close to Jesus in the hereafter? Not all children of God are going to be in the same place in heaven. Do you know that? What you did in this life is going to be how close you are to Jesus. How you serve the Lord is very important in this life and forever. Not for a little while. What you do in this life really does count. Your motives in this life will really count. Jesus said here not too long ago, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, didn't he? He said, if you want to be first, what do? Give your life for everyone. Just give it. Give your life away. Waste your life on humanity. You want to be first? Waste your life. Waste it. And Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drank? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. What kind of baptism do you think that is? The beatings and the crucifixion and the maligning of them. And they said to him, We are able. Oh, yes, we are able. And Jesus said, The cup I drink, you shall drink. And you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to you to sit on the right hand or on my left hand, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And then hearing this, now look at the rest of the little rascals. The little rascals. And hearing this, the ten began. The ten kept on. Feeling indignant with James and John, and calling them to himself, they said, You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority on them. But it not shall be so among you. Whosoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whosoever wishes to be first among you shall be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be the slave, the servant, the ox on the flock. But to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I'm going to tell you a story. I told you a story about Dr. Martha Myers. I told you a story about Kathy Garrity. These were Southern Baptist missionaries in Yemen. And I'm going to tell you the story about Bill Kane. Bill Kane. Bill Kane. Bill Kane came from the Midwest. He grew up, he was one of seven children. There was a son and then five daughters in a row, and then he was the baby boy. So he said his family just lavished care and love upon him, but they all worked hard out in the country. They all worked hard. And he was taught to tell the truth. When he was 8 years old, guess what happened to him by the preaching of the God's Word? He was saved at 8 years old. By the way, Martha was saved about 8 years old, and Kathy was saved when she was grown, because Kathy was in a false religious system, remember? Kathy Garrity was a Catholic. And until her mother, and she was going to be a nun. She had a calling of God. She felt a great calling of God, but after her mother died, she just got tremendously under conviction that the religion that she had was not enough to get to heaven. And she got saved. And she started studying, and the people that taught the Bible the most were the Baptists. So she started going to Baptist. She got Baptist baptism. And then she got a conviction late in life to go serve the Lord, and that place was Yemen. She went to Yemen also. Dr. Martha Myers, her father was a doctor. She didn't want to go into the medical field at all. She wanted to be a missionary. By the time she was 8 years old, she wanted to be a missionary. She wanted to be a missionary. And she was going to run away from home when she was 12 years old and become a missionary in China. You know how kids are. Boy, don't you wish you had a child that wanted to be a missionary? Yeah. Yeah. That bad? To run away from home and go out on a mission field when they were 12 years old? By the time she got to be 12 years old, she got a little smarter. And she realized that if she would become a doctor, that she could really serve the Lord. So she got A pluses in school all the way through, and she became a doctor. And she went on a mission assignment one time by the Southern Baptists, but they went to Yemen. And she went over there and she fell in love with those people. And she said, this is where I can do the greatest work. In Yemen, they hadn't had any Christian witness there for 1,300 years. It wasn't allowed. When you go to Yemen, you go to in any Muslim world, you can't pray in public. Do you know that? When we were going from Jordan into Israel, I was on a archaeological tour there in 1974 and 75. And one of these old-time preachers was on this tour. He went there. He was pretty up in age at that time. I think he was about 70 years old or so. He got up, and we were waiting at the Allenby Bridge to get across. And he started singing, Crossing Over Jordan. Oh, and the leader jerked him down and said, sit down and shut up if you want to stay alive. We're not in a Christian world, though. You better shut up. They'll shoot every one of us now. He didn't know that. We were in dangerous country. Over there, you're in danger. If you name the name of Christ, our missionaries that go over there in the Middle East, they can't pray out in public. Do you know that? They can't go in a restaurant and sit there and offer prayer in Jesus' name over their food. They got to shut up. They can watch these Muslims praying five times a day, but they can't do anything. They can't do anything. They can't show an outward. Well, Kathy Garrity, Dr. Martha Myers, all went into Yemen, where there wasn't any Christian witness for 1,300 years there at all. Nothing. The name of Christ was not mentioned as the only Savior of the world, only as a prophet of Allah. That's all. And that's a whole lot of difference there. I'm going to tell you something, people. Unless you believe that Jesus is Jehovah God and the Savior of the world and the Creator of the world, you're not going to get to heaven. He's not just a prophet of God. He's not just a good man. He is the Savior and the Creator of the world. Okay? Well, Bill Cain, William Edwin Cain, his name looks like Cohen there, but it's Cain. Cohen in Hebrew means what, girls and boys? Cohen. Priest. All right, thank you, brother. You get an A-plus for today. He got saved. And he served the Lord in Baptist churches wherever he was. He met a girl later in life named Marty Walker and married her. And he worked as a carpenter, as a plumber, as a Roto-Rooter guy, and all kinds of stuff in his life. He had a lot of facets that he did. He worked and he did everything out in the farm country in the Midwest where he was. He believed in hard work and honesty. That was what he was taught. He didn't bend the truth in any way. He was honest. People said of Bill Cain, he says, I thought I was honest and I thought I had integrity until I met him. Well, Marty got the call to the mission field. And she shared it with her husband, Bill. He became a manager of supermarkets and they shipped him here and shipped him there. And wherever they went, they were working in a church. But he didn't have any call to the mission field at all. He just didn't feel like he was called to be a missionary at all. And he was very successful, a very good manager of men. He managed them by encouraging them. If somebody wasn't doing their job right, instead of firing them, he'd say, this is what I can do to help you. This is what you need to do. And he would lovingly show them. They called him the quiet giant. The most humble man. They said if gentleness is humility, then he was the most humble man in the world. He put up with his wife's call to the ministry. She kept telling him that she felt that she needed to go to the mission field. And he'd let her go to the seminars and go here, and he'd go with her and go do that. And she went on out on the little mission trips and everything like Lee and all the people do here. And he just put up with it. He didn't do anything about it. He didn't discourage her, but they had a little bone of contention between them over this thing. Finally, she talked him into going on a mission, little mission trip with her. And he went. And he began to feel the call of God to him. And when Bill knew that God was calling him to do something, he just did it. So he said, well, I think God's calling me too. But let's figure out where he wants us. Well, to get out and go with the IMD, the International Mission Board, you have to go to the college and get your college degree. You know what Bill did? He was a manager of a supermarket. You know what he did? He took a demotion. He became a stocker. He went from manager to stocker so he could go to school. People thought he was crazy. Quality guy. He's a manager. The people that had been underneath him were his bosses now. He was a stalker. He was the bag boy. But he went to the seminary. He got his degree. He set aside his life. He says, if God wants my life, it's his. All the time he was a carpenter. He loved to do carpentry work. And he said, well, this must be going to help me out on the mission field somehow or another. He finally was called to Yemen, the city of Jibla in Yemen. There was a Southern Baptist hospital there that needed a manager. Nobody could manage this hospital. Dealing with those Arab people was a nightmare. You set a price for a surgery or whatever, and they had to get some pay. It was over $1 million a year. There was 900 beds in this hospital, and they had all these surgeons, and all of these local people had to be paid. And the Southern Baptist Convention couldn't pay the whole bill, so they had to get a little amount of revenue from the people. And there was very poor people, and there were the rich sheiks over there. You know, this is still there. Well, he went in there, and he started the job. And he learned how to deal with them. I mean, if he set a price for $60 for surgery, they wanted to pay $2. And they liked to haggle, you know, liked to haggle. And so they haggled, He learned how to deal with them. He respected their customs. He respected all this. And he couldn't openly be a Christian, of course. None of them could. All they could do is show them what Christians did. That's all they could do. That's the only thing you can do is show them what a Christian is. That's all. You can be a Christian witness. We studied last week, and we know that Dr. Martha Meyer, she went out and she would do clinics out of her Land Rover out in the middle of nowhere, be gone 2 or 3 days on her days off out there working day and night, hardly even sleeping at all, hardly even eating. Doing everything but wearing a veil, but she couldn't use the name of Christ. These people have never seen a Christian service at all. A religious service, period. Nothing. They've never seen anything like that. Okay? Bill went in there and they looked at this. This is what one person said. I've heard meekness defined as strength under control. If that is true, the most accurate picture I can think of would be Mr. Bill Cain. But when the buck stopped with him. One time, a baby was stolen. Over there, you know, women want to have babies. This woman had been barren and everything, and she slipped into the hospital and stole the newborn baby. And the Arab world over there, they're going to blame somebody. They're going to take them out, chop their hand off. They're going to hang him. They're going to do something to somebody. And they got a hold of him, and they collared him and interrogated him for 7 hours. Trying to tell them who was responsible for letting that baby be stolen out of that hospital. And they wanted to arrest them and publicly whip them or whatever, you know, or execute them or whatever. You know what he told them? I'm the head of the hospital. Arrest me. Take me out and beat me up. Humiliate me. Cut me in pieces. Cut my hand off. Whatever you want to do. They said, oh no. We know you love us. You love us. You love us. We know you love us. He was falsely accused several different times of things. And the lawyers told him, don't tell them everything at once. He would go in there and he told them all the truth. And they were so flabbergasted at what he told them that they just sat back. Remember when Jesus said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, here I am, and they fell down. That's like what Bill did. He said, well, I'm a Christian. All this. He started telling them all this kind of stuff. They were so flabbergasted at his honesty, they couldn't believe it. They lied a little bit. Bill didn't. Not a little bit. Not at all. When he was off work, he was making toys, making chairs, making things for people. He'd make little wooden toys, and he would sell them to the employees of the hospital, and then take it and donate it back to the hospital or to. He had widow and orphan funds. People around there had no water. Of course, he was a plumber. You know, remember he got to be a Roto-Rooter guy back there in the Midwest. He goes out there, and here in the hospital compound, they're the only ones that got a water well and water. You know what he does? He goes out there and runs a water line out there and puts spigots out there on the outside of the fence so they can go get water. All kinds of little things of kindness he did. They didn't have to do. They didn't have to come and get a pass to get into the hospital compound. They had a faucet right out there on the outside. The women in the village could come and get the water. He helped them over and over again. All kinds of little things. They didn't have toys. He said, I love to make toys. He loved to work in his carpenter shop. And he was crippled in his back, his hips. He had to have double hip replacements, all kinds of stuff, but he just kept on going. There was an official came over there from an American ambassador came over here to this place in Jibla. And they were going to have a parade, and they were going to have an honorable deal. And the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador came there, and the local sheik that was in head of all of this area right here, he said, you walk behind Mr. Bill. Mr. Bill will be in front. And the ambassador walks behind him. He loves us. We know who you are, but we know who he is. We know who he is. That guy is kind of humiliated the American ambassador, but they got the idea. This is a man of God. This is a woman that we love. One of the officials came there, one of the government officials from Yemen came to his carpenter shop, and he had this really elaborate toy that he had built setting up on a shelf up there. He said, can I have that toy? He said, I want to ask you something. He said, you won't let me go to the orphanages to see the little children and to take gifts to the children and food and stuff like that. He said, I will give you that toy if you will let me open the door. He kept trying to go into the orphanages and deal with the children. He couldn't say anything about Jesus at all. They just know he was a Christian. That's all. But he wanted to go to those orphanages and take things for the children. And he said, I'll give you that toy if you'll open the door where I can go in the orphanages. So he got the door to go into the orphanages. And he took lots of toys to them. He said, it's real wonderful over there. In America, he said, if you make somebody a wooden toy or something, you know, they got a lot out of the toys. He said, little children would come to the hospital out in the centers, and when they come to the hospital the first time, they'd never seen a white doctor or American at all, and they'd never been in a hospital, and they're scared to death. They got to have a tooth pulled, or they're sick. They got pneumonia, appendicitis, something. And he'd have them little toys, and they could play with these little toys, and they'd forget about being sick because they had a toy in their hand, and they never had a toy before. And they got to take it home, too. That was part of it. Friends, business, going to the hospital, got a toy for your little kid. He went into the hospitals, and he'd take little things to them. He said one time he took about 100 pounds of carrots, and those little kids were just eating those carrots, just stuffing those carrots in. He said, where could I go in America and take carrots into an orphanage and get this kind of reception and this kind of gratification seeing these people in need? They're getting vitamin A and carrots, and they're happy. They were just gobbling those carrots down by the sackful. They were hungry. He did all of this. He couldn't evangelize anybody. He was like Santa Claus. When they saw him coming, it was like Santa Claus. But they didn't know who Santa Claus was. Santa Claus to them was Mr. Bill. Mr. Bill. It says here, after he died, that people would bring pictures to them and show them toys and tables that he'd made for people's houses. He said, this man came who, he said, he truly loved us. This is a man who truly loved us. He showed me a picture of a stool that Bill had worked on for the orphans, John recalls. He showed me a picture of pipes that Bill had bought. Bill bought the pipes, the plumbing pipes, and worked to get installed so the prisoners could have water in prisons. They have no water in the prison. They have no way to take a bath or anything. He showed me a picture of donkeys lined up with food on their backs to be carried out to widows. He started a widow's fund over there. Widows and their families in the hills. The villager closed the booklet and said, this is a man who truly loved us. Bill would have smiled. Then he probably would have said, okay, folks, let's go back to work. He was a working man, after all. He came to this needy land. An admirer said, because a sovereign God looked across the sea and had compassion on the people of Yemen and chose someone to stand in the gap. He chose a quiet grocer from Kansas named William Edwin Kane. The only Christian service that these people ever saw in this land was a memorial service in the hospital compound. Bill said if he died in Yemen that he wanted to be buried there. He said, if I go back to Kansas, he says, I'll just be another headstone in the graveyard. Dr. Martha Meyer says, if I die in Yemen, bury me here. And they had a funeral there for those two, and that was the only Christian service that those people had ever seen in 1,300 years. In 1,300 years. And people stood on the outside crying with the people on the inside. But one woman stood up there with a smile on her face, and she came up there and she talked to one of the missionaries. These were all missionaries in this hospital now. People that had given their lives. This is what we call stewardship. The last two Sundays have been stewardship. What kind of steward are you? Has God called you to do something? Can you be baptized with my baptism? Kathy Garrity, Martha Myers, and William Edwin Kane were baptized with that baptism. Did they drink the cup that Jesus drank? They drank the cup that Jesus drank. They did drink it. And where will they be in eternity? We know they're saved. The one old Arab woman stood there at the fence and she said, "Where are all you people crying?" These were good people. They're in heaven. And the one woman that was standing there by him, she said, they won't be in heaven because they were good. They will be in heaven because Jesus died for them. That's why they'll be in heaven. They got to say that day. By the way, I want to show you the terrible irony of all of this. The day that this patient came there, his wife was shown so much kindness that his wife wanted to become a Christian. They'd never witnessed to her, but she wanted to become a Christian and be like Dr. Martha and Mr. Bill and Miss Kathy Garrity. He was so angry that he went there and killed all three of them. He killed all three of them. And it was the last day that the hospital was open. They were going to close it the next day. That was the last day of operation. The last day of operation, they all died. The next day, they would be going some other place because the Yemeni government was going to take it over the next day. That was the last day of operation. I've talked to people that did the daylight bombing over at Germany. How many of you have heard of that? That's probably too young for any of you, but in Germany, I talked to different people. Marilyn talked to one pilot, his name is Sidney, the other day, on the deal, and when he went over to Germany, and he said the most dangerous missions was the last one. The last mission was the most dangerous mission that they made. They went over there, I knew a guy named Jackson, and that guy named Lindy Lindorf. Both went over there. They said when they fly out of England, they'd take these big B-52s and B-17 bombers and stuff, and they'd go over there, and when they would land them back in England, when the airplanes would land, the wings would fall off them because they were shot out. The only thing holding those wings on was wind. When they dropped, they were so shot full of holes, they fell off. The last day of service. You know what Bill said? I hope I can leave with honor. That's what he said. I hope I want to leave with honor. Did he? Did he leave with honor? When you leave this world, will you leave with honor? Set your life aside. Do it. You're made out of the same stuff these people were made out of. Aren't you? You're made out of the same stuff. That the church would like to use a tithe. And I told you, you know, everything that you have is God's. The tithe, you know, that's what we give to them. And I don't know if they got little things to hand out and on or whatever they're doing. They asked me if I'd preached about this. I said, yeah, I've been preaching on stewardship for about 16 years. Not just 1 week, not just 1 or 2 days. Last week I preached a little bit about this, stewardship, and now you got it again. What are you going to do with your life? You want to be a missionary? Maybe you're going to be called a missionary in the middle of your life. Like Bill was. When he should have been retiring. Should have been reaping the benefits of his success in his life. He went to the mission field. And on the last day on that mission field, he was murdered. But this book says, lives given, not taken. By the way, here is Bill, there is Dr. Martha, and there's Kathy Garrity. Those three people right there that we've been talking about. That's those three people right there. That's the three people. The last day of operation. The last day. Let's go on a little bit further in the book. Verse number 46. Verse number 45, remember that. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to become a slave, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Verse number 46. Bartimaeus. What does Bartimaeus mean? All you Greek, Hebrew scholars say this. Bartimaeus. What?
Son of Timaeus.
Son of Timaeus. All right. Thank you, Brother Mike. See there? And he says he didn't think. By the way, what language is that? Aramaic. Bar is Aramaic. Ben is Hebrew. All right. Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho. And as he was going out from Jericho, his mathetes. What does mathetes mean? Habitual learners. The ones who were habitually following him. And his disciples and a great multitude. There was a great multitude. How many people are here in this great multitude in this Oikos? Or Oikos. How many people? Or following it. At least 5,000 to 10,000 people. That's a lot of people. As much people as you can cram in the Valley Baptist Church on a Sunday. That's how many people were following Jesus. Just think about that for a while. All the Sunday school classes all sewn together and all the services sewn together. That's how many people were here following Jesus right there. Now, why did Jesus perform miracles? Wednesday night that we were talking about. Why did Jesus perform miracles? Why did he perform miracles? To prove who he was. They weren't specific merciful acts, but they were to prove who he was. Now, what miracle only is a messianic credential that no one else in the Old Testament ever did? What was the one credential, messianic credential, Brother Mike? That he would cure or heal the blind. Okay? Now, he had healed several blind people. One man was blind from his birth, remember? We talked about that here a while back when he healed him. He healed this blind man, and the first thing he saw was what? Objects. Stationary objects. Things like objects. He had to heal that man double. Did you know that? People that have never been able to see and they do something to their eyes so they can see, they say the first thing they see, they don't know what they see. It looks like trees standing there or something because their brain does not know what they're seeing. It has no way to understand what they're seeing. And Jesus proved this. You know, medical science, they didn't know much about it in the Bible days about medical science, but what's in the Bible is medical science. Absolute true medical science. If you wanted to prove the Bible, this is one of those things that you would do that. to believe the Bible, why I believe the Bible. Jesus healed this man, and he saw things as people as trees standing. He couldn't, his brain could not assimilate the information. And then he healed his mind, so his mind could assimilate what his eyes were seeing. And then he could see things clearly. He had to heal his eyes, and he had to heal his mind, because he had never seen before. They came to Jericho, the city of palm trees. I've been there. That's a beautiful place. I was there in the middle of wintertime. It looked like it's springtime. With his habitual learners and a great multitude and a blind beggar. This man was an absolute... He was destitute. That's what the word beggar there, patokoi. Named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. There it says Bartimaeus, and then it says son of Timaeus. It translates it for you. Was sitting by the road. And when he had heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene. Why did they call Jesus the Nazarene? Why did they call him? Was he a Nazarite?
No.
Jesus was not a Nazarite. He did not take the oath of the Nazarite. That was a voluntary priest. As if the priest was serving all the time. Nazarite. You know, they couldn't drink wine or anything else or whatever when they were in service. And that's what a Nazarite was, a voluntary priest. He was living like a voluntary priest in service all the time. Okay? Nazarite was from Nazareth. What does Nazareth? It comes from the Hebrew word Nazar. What does that mean? It means root or branch. And he kept on crying out and saying, Jesus, son of David. Now when he said Jesus, son of David, he said, Jesus. Ben David. All right? Jesus, Jehovah saves, son of David. What do you think he knew in his mind? Already, what did he know about Jesus? Why do you call him son of David? Because a Messiah would be the son of David. He would be the Messiah, would be the king of Israel, the son of David, and he should have been on the throne of Israel. This blind man... All of the rest of the Jews out there, all the rest of the Pharisees, and all the rest of the Sadducees, and all of those Levites, and all of those county clerks, the scribes, were blind. But this blind man knew that this man should have been on the throne, and that this man was the Messiah. They could see with their eyes, but with their hearts they were blind. Okay? Have mercy on me. And many were sternly telling him to shut up, shut your mouth. And he kept on crying out the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. By the way, if you look at the Gospel of Mark, there's very few red letter words in the Gospel of Mark. Mark quotes Jesus very few times sparingly compared to the other Gospels. But when he quotes him, pay attention. When you see those red letters, if you got a red letter edition, pay attention. Those are Jesus' words. Call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, arise, he is calling for you. And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up, and he came to Jesus. And answered him, saying, Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni. Rabboni means what? Rabboni. Rabboni. What was it mean? Rabboni. Huh?
Master.
My master teacher. That's in the possessive. That Rabboni, that's in the possessive mode. In Hebrew, you know that. That's my teacher. My rabbi. My teacher. My master teacher. My Dr. Jesus. That's what he said. Mine. You're mine. I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Go your way. And immediately he regained his sight. He regained his sight. He had seen one time. Something blinded this man. Something had blinded this man. And he regained his sight. You know, the other blind man never had seen in his life. He was born blind. This one here had been blinded sometime, and he knew what it was like to see. And then he lost his sight, and he became a beggar. And he began to follow him on the road, and he kept on following him. He became a disciple. This blind man, this blind Bartimaeus, became a disciple. He became a disciple. A disciple is different than just a Christian, just what we call a nominal Christian. It is not somebody just saved and going to church. It is the one that makes church a way of his life. That's what a mathetes is, a one that makes a church the way of his life. I remember when I was first saved, I wanted to go to church a lot. They didn't have church enough for me. So I had to listen to the radio. And I remember when I finally gave my life to the Lord and rededicated my life when I was in my early 20s, 21, something like that. There wasn't enough church services. Couldn't have enough. I was going to church services all over. I would go from here to there and all over the place. One time there was a conference up there in Armona, and I was on the way to Armona, and the cam in my car broke half in two. I didn't get to go to church service, but I was on the way, and I was listening to tapes, old reel-to-reel tapes, all the way there in my car. You can't get to church enough when you're a disciple, an habitual learner. Habitual learner. Are you a habitual learner? Think about this class. Who shall be the greatest? Can you be baptized with my baptism? Can you drink my cup? The cup that I drink. Can you? Sure you can. If you get your want to fixed, you can become a missionary, a preacher. You can do all these things if you get your want to fixed. If you get your want to fixed. Thank you for your attention today. I covet your prayers. Brother Bill.
Some prayers here today. Brother Abe was right about what we learned here today that we have to pass on. That's what God's got us here for.